and read that right now and get into the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans 1, verse 24, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable," which means unyielding, it means stubborn or obstinate, "unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." This is a powerful passage of Scripture showing the decline and the downward spiral of a man who decides that his way is better than God's way, who ultimately rejects the truth of God. And it gives us in clear and precise words what a person and what a society looks like when it has rejected God. And we're still dealing with the theme of God's divine wrath against sin. You look back at verse 18. This is the context for all of this. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So the Word of God teaches us that God's wrath is shown, revealed against ungodliness and especially and sin in general, but especially those who know the truth, who hold the truth, but suppress the truth and don't allow it its work in their life. God's wrath is revealed, especially against when God has revealed Himself to mankind. He's given all that man needs to know, and man says no to God, and then change the truth of God into a lie, and begin to worship self more than God. And so this is the theme. We're dealing with God's divine wrath against sin. In the passage that we've read this morning, we find what the results of man's rebellion against God is. God tells us in clear and precise language exactly what the results of man's rebellion against God's truth leads to. And I want to call your attention this morning to three terms that are used in our text. Verse 24, note this, "Wherefore God also gave them up." Look at verse 26. "For this cause God gave them up unto their vile affections." In verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind." These phrases are actually all the very same word in Greek, and it means to surrender. It means to yield up. And so when we read this, God gave them up, God gave them over, it means God surrendered or yielded them up. These verses and phrases tell us, really indicate to us, that there is a limit to the patience and the long-suffering of God. As we study these verses this morning, it will become very apparent that when man makes his choice to reject God, at some point, God is going to also reject him. And that is a very, very sobering thought. Because God, yes, is a God of love, and His love is everlasting. But those who reject His truth, there will come an end to his mercy. There will come an end to his long suffering. And then the wrath of God is going to be poured out. We're surrounded by millions of people who really have been given up or given over or abandoned to the lifestyle that they have chosen for themselves over God. And the truth is, we may even know some people who are living under the shadow of God's wrath as a result of their continued rejection of God. Now, let me be clear. Someone might think, well, I believe God. I believe there's a God. I believe in God. Listen, a person can say they believe in God all they want, but they can still reject God. Because if it's a rejection of the truth of God that is suppressed, that is not allowed into our life because of human pride or anything else, it's a rejection of God. It doesn't matter what you say, I believe in God. No, you don't believe in God if you reject His truth. I want us to see this morning what God says are the results of man's rebellion. That's the theme and the title of the message, the results of man's rebellion against God. And let's pray, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you lead this morning. Father, that your word would just be clear and plain. And Father, that the Spirit of God would take and apply it where it's necessary. I don't know what your will is in each and every heart. I don't know the heart of men. Father, we just take and trust that your word will accomplish its purpose, that your word will divide and discern the thoughts and intents of men's hearts today. And Father, for those who do not know you as their personal Savior, that they would stop rejecting your truth. Father, yield to the will of God. Accomplish your will and your purpose. May you be glorified in it. Father, may your Spirit have full control this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Consider with me, first of all, the substance of man's sinful rebellion. It's found in verses 24 and 25. What is the substance of man's sinful rebellion is really based in the fact that he makes very sinful choices. Look at verse 24. Verse 24 says, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." When you see the word "wherefore," you have to go back and find out what it's there for, right? And we looked at verse 18, talking about the wrath of God. But why is God's wrath going to be poured out on men? Because verse 19 says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." All right, so God has revealed himself, and there's no excuse. Mankind knows that God exists. Verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." We talked about this last week, that this phrase, "became vain in their imaginations," basically, it has the idea and the understanding that suppressing and rejecting the truth of God, there's got to be an explanation for it. So man comes up with his own explanation, but it only leads to an empty and vain existence. Empty reasoning, which leads to a vain existence. What a waste of God-given life is what the result is. And so they knew God, but they didn't give him glory. And then verse 22, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things." They make gods unto themselves. Wherefore, because of this, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. We find here it is their own choices. It's mankind's own sinful choices, really, that makes up the substance of their rebellion. Man chooses his own will and his sin over God because he's chosen what was bound up in his own heart. Man is sinful by nature. In fact, he's defiled by his own choices. In fact, look with me in Matthew chapter 15. Jesus states this here. what the source of defilement for mankind is. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, Jesus says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Jesus makes it very clear. Where is the source of defilement? Well, it's your own heart. It's man's own sinful heart. James chapter 1 in verse 14 says that a man, let's look at it, that he sins when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. James chapter 1 in verse 14 says, "But every man is tempted or tested when he's drawn away." That word "drawn away" means to drag away. It means to lure. "Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." The word "enticed" means entrapped. Man falls into the entrapment of sin because of his own sinful heart and his own lust. And the truth is that the natural man, the unsaved man, will always choose his sin over the will of God. He'll always choose his way and his sin over the Word of God. He'll always choose his desires over the purposes of God. Man is a sinner, and nothing can remedy that short of the blood of Jesus Christ. But notice with me back in Romans 1 and verse 24. Notice here that the more a man seeks to honor himself by exalting his will over that of God, the more dishonorable he becomes. Verse 24 says, "God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts." To what? To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. When a person or a society chooses their will, exalting their will over God's, the more dishonorable they become. When a man chooses his sin over the truth of God, his sinful nature grows more and more corrupt. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. The Bible says here that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. He's talking about the old sin nature, the old person before you're saved, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So the old man is corrupt, but there's something interesting about this word here in Ephesians 4:22. The word is used in the present passive participle, which basically it has the idea that this sin nature is continually corrupting. That's what it means. And so here we find that man has the truth of God. God has revealed something to him. He's rejected that truth, and so God gives him up, which results in that sinful, corrupting nature to corrupt even more. It's almost like there's an influence of God that has some staying power that's holding back the corrupting nature of our sinful nature until God finally says, "Okay, have it your way." And man continues to corrupt himself and dishonor more and more and more. Every trait of the old man's behavior is putrid. That's why there's none good, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. The substance of man's sinful rebellion is based in his sinful choices. But verse 25 shows us, back in Romans 1, that it's also based in sinful changes. Note what happens here. "So God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies." Here's this digression starting to happen. This more corruption in verse 25. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore." Listen, here's the sinful changes. Since man refuses to live by God's truth, he has to invent his own truth. Why does he have to do that? Because he's got to find a way to justify and condone his sinful actions. And so he's got to make up his own truth because he refuses to live by God's. And the result is that man invents his own God, the chief God usually being self. and he worships and serves himself more than the Creator. This verse here basically describes the philosophy of our world. It's humanism. They change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. You know, the truth of God, that God created the heavens and the earth, that God made man after his own image, and they've taken the truth of God and they turn it into a lie. Oh, we just evolved from some primordial soup and boom, we popped out on land and grew some legs and this and that. And now all of this around us. And look, human beings are at the pinnacle, the peak of evolution. Worshiping self. Changing the truth of God into a lie. God calls this behavior an exchange of truth for the lie. Man trades. Listen, he trades what is living and what is helpful and what is vital for his soul for something that is harmful and deadly to his soul. And why does man do this? Because he needs a God that will condone his sinful behavior. The truth of God condemns men's sinful behavior. And so man invents his own God to live for himself and to justify himself. This is the substance of man's sinful rebellion. But look at verses 26 and 27. What does that lead to? We see the symbol of man's sinful rebellion. Verse 26 says, "For this cause," what cause? "That man chose to reject God, to change God's truth into a lie. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meet." Verse 26 says, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections." This word, these two words, means something disgraceful. Disgraceful passions is literally what this phrase means. God gave them up unto disgraceful passions because man has chosen his sin over God. Man is given over to these vile affections, these disgraceful passions. And these two verses here show us and describe for us the absolute bottom of the barrel, the bottom of the pit of iniquity, the depths that mankind goes to when he has chosen to reject God. The basic idea here is that this is exactly where societies always end up when they choose their way over God's way. In fact, if you look at history, history will reveal that this is the case in every major society throughout history that has chosen to reject God. They end up, listen, they end up at the very bottom of the barrel of humanity. These verses that God is giving to us describe homosexuality in very clear terms. These are very specific words. I've studied this out. There are others who believe something a little bit different about these verses. And I've studied this out as much as I possibly can, and I am convinced that the Word of God right here is describing the sin of homosexuality. And yes, it's a sin. What we find here is that when men choose to reject God, that men's attractions become even more sickening. In these verses, the Apostle Paul is describing the sin of homosexuality, and he uses it to picture the absolute depths of depravity that mankind can go. It's the bottom of the barrel for mankind. And people might say, well, the whole society is not that way. My friend, just because someone doesn't actually commit the sin of homosexuality does not mean that they don't embrace it as sin. A society embracing this kind of lifestyle, a society embracing this behavior, is a mark of the downward spiral of mankind. The Apostle Paul might as well have been talking about America. When society embraces this kind of a lifestyle, it's a mark of this downward spiral. You know, it used to be something that was taboo in America. If somebody was a homosexual, you didn't tell anybody about it. They call it in the closet. And then it became something where now you know, they're proud to come out of the closet. But you know, have you ever seen this in our society? We're actually moving past this idea of being proud to come out of the closet. Even the idea of homosexuality has been so embraced that it's moved to the next step. This transgenderism that's going on. Have you seen this? Notice this in our society? Because our society has so embraced the lifestyle, even if they're not that way themselves, it digresses even more. It's something that used to be taboo, but now it's promoted. Now it's exalted. Now it's lauded as a good and a natural thing. It's not even an alternative lifestyle anymore like it used to be labeled. The sad thing is that in America, the homosexual community is estimated to probably be about 3% of the population. Not very many in reality, but it's growing. But here's the thing. They're given special privileges, and their lifestyle is promoted in the open, even demanding that people like you and me endorse them and accept them and affirm that what they're doing is good. Even those at the highest echelons of our government are extending special favors to this community, promoting this agenda. But you know what the Bible says? That same-sex relationships are abominable, and they are utterly sinful and shameful in God's eyes. God gave them over to vile affections, shameful passions, disgraceful passions. And the fact of the matter that all sin is disgraceful and shameful in God's eyes. But this is the bottom of the barrel for mankind, for a society. And note here that Paul says in verse 26, he says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Note those words, against nature. This completely refutes the argument and the justification. Oh, that we can't help it, we're born that way. No, you're not. Not according to God. This lifestyle is against nature. It's not natural. And he says here that even their women were partakers or involved in this kind of a lifestyle. The emphasis here is that women are usually the last bastion of morality in a society. History bears this out, actually. And men, I think, might be more given to sexual type sins than women are. However, Paul is describing a people, an entire society, a people who are totally given up to this sinful standard of life. And I'm telling you, he might as well be writing about America. It's evidenced in our country by the fact that, listen, even certain mainstream so-called Christian denominations have accepted, married, and even ordained homosexual ministers. Tell me it's not embraced in the society. Those who are even called Christian. And some groups are even calling for, listen, they're calling for declassifying homosexuality as sin. Even the fact that it would be even debatable when the Bible is so very clear on it is evidence of the fact that our society has embraced it. Paul is talking about a people who've embraced this lifestyle of shameful passions. Societal embrace is a mark of this downward spiral of rejection of God. Verse 27 shows us that this leads to something else. This rejection of God's truth when they know there's a God, changing the truth of God into a lie. God giving them up to their vile affections. All right, you want it this way? Here's the downward spiral. It leads to something else. Verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. I'm telling you, all of these words are very precise words referring to sexual sin and the sin of homosexuality. And then he says, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Notice here the last phrase, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. This phrase basically means that there are natural consequences to this kind of a lifestyle beyond that of, or maybe prior to the wrath of God being poured out. There are natural, physical consequences for this kind of a lifestyle. In other words, this choice of living, and it is a choice, by the way, it brings its own kind of judgment besides the wrath of God. In the physical realm, you know, you see the spread of AIDS and HIV across the world and across the globe, and other sexually transmitted disease. Those are the first things that come to my mind when we see that there are natural results to this kind of a lifestyle. And listen, it isn't just affecting the homosexual community either. It's swiftly spreading to all corners of society. You know, when you got a guy like Magic Johnson who comes out and says that he's HIV positive, where did that come from? It comes from his lifestyle and him bragging that he probably had over 20,000 women that he had relationships with. What do you think is going to happen? No surprise. There are natural consequences when we choose to reject God. You begin to realize the depths of human depravity, how low mankind can sink. And when man chooses to reject God, God gives them up, and their addictions become even more sickening, but their addictions then become settled. These are some powerful verses. Look at verses 28 and following. We see here the scope of man's sinful rebellion. Verse 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind." God yielded them up to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. These are all marks of those who've rejected God. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Here we find the scope of man's sinful rebellion. And it's seen in the decisions that he makes. Verse 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge." At this point, we're seeing this downward spiral, this digression of mankind. They've known the truth of God. They've rejected the truth of God. They've changed the truth of God into a lie. They're worshiping themselves, not the Creator. God says, okay, have it your way. And their sinful nature corrupts even more and more dishonoring and disgraceful. And then verse 28 says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Here's where we find that there's coming a point in time where man has said no to God for the last time. And God finally says, okay, that's it. at this point, man's rejection of God is complete. As they give themselves more fully to their sin. Listen, and as mankind gives themselves more fully to their sin nature, the less room they have in their mind for God. And eventually, God is rooted completely and totally out of the picture by their vile affections, and they're trapped. Even the gods of their own invention become less and less necessary. Why do I need a God at all? I'm God. A man told me that just recently, this last week, he saw a bumper sticker on someone's car. Three words. I am God. The person who's come this far in his rebellion comes to think of himself as his own God. There are no consequences for my actions. The scope of his rebellion is seen in his decision, but also in his depravity. We're told in these next few verses that God gives them over to a reprobate mind. It refers to something that has been put to the test. It's failed the test, and so it's rejected. That's what a reprobate mind is. Something that's been put to the test, it's failed the test, and so it's rejected. And the word was used to refer to refining of metals back in the day. And the idea is that listen, men don't want God in their lives, and so he gives them over to the power of their totally, completely depraved mind because it's the choice they've made. And the Apostle Paul gives a list in these verses, 23 different things. And the list isn't meant to be an exhaustive list, but it's a representation of the depravity of mankind and what mankind is capable of sinking to. And most of these words are pretty self-explanatory, but there are a few that are maybe different. Look at there. He says, being filled, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness. These are like categories of sin that encompass all the things that are listed after this. Every form of sin imaginable. He says men are given over to covetousness. Covetousness means an appetite for the things of others. They're given to maliciousness. That's ill will and vengeance towards others. You know, the whole Black Lives Matter movement and the whatever other, movement that's out there. They talk about peaceful demonstrations and all this kind of stuff. That is such baloney. There's maliciousness. There's ill will in the hearts of men. Vengeance over imagined things. Envy. It's the spirit that wants not only the things of another person, but it begrudges the fact that the person has them. Oh, you know, these millionaires and billionaires, you need to share the wealth. That's not fair. It's a spirit that wants not only things to be taken away from other people, but they want people to suffer through the loss of them. Given over to murder. This is pretty obvious. I'm amazed more and more at the violent crime in a place like Fairbanks in North Pole, Alaska. How much can one small little place, hold? People are running. Criminals are running. They find themselves in Alaska, and somehow they find themselves in Fairbanks, and it becomes a cesspool of violent criminals. I don't think you can pretty much go anywhere nowadays in our country and not find this kind of living. But it's like every week you're hearing of somebody who's been murdered or shot, or something. There's a reason why in the book of Genesis, God looked down and saw that the thoughts of men's hearts was only evil continually. And violence filled the land, the Bible says. Because of this downward spiral of a people who reject God. Malignity, deceit, debate. Debate is a spirit given to fighting. Tell me that that's not a part of our society. deceit, that's lying, malignity, a spirit that's filled with evil, envy, and hatred, and it loves nothing more than the destruction of other people and other human beings. Isn't it amazing how those peaceful demonstrations turn into rioting, looting, and windows being busted out and cars being turned over and set on fire and people being hurt? Yeah, peaceful demonstration. Whisperers, those are gossips who seek to harm other people. Backbiters. Haters of God. This is a person who hates the standards of truth imposed by God. His goal is to be without God in his life. Despiteful. A life of defiance that dares God to get in his way, if God even exists. That kind of a person is determined to have his own way at all costs. Proud, that's self-exaltation. Boasters, that's a bragger. A person who brags about what he has or what he's done. Inventors of evil things, that's a person who's tired of sin as usual. You know, it doesn't bring me the same pleasure anymore, and they've got to come up with more things to stimulate them. They seek new forms of sin to excite them. Disobedient to parents is pretty obvious. Just watch a rebellious child when they're young and watch them grow. And as their rebellion increases, they are open to all kinds of other sinful activity. That's the nature of mankind. Without understanding, that's a person who refuses to learn by experience. Man, tell me that's not a mark of our society. We want socialism in our country. Just look at history. When has that ever worked? They won't learn from experience. They've rejected the truth of God, and so they close their eyes and they close their minds to truth. Covenant breakers. Without natural affection. That's abnormal affections, abnormal loves, heartlessness. Man, I think abortion is the epitome of a mark of without natural affection. Nothing more natural than a mother mother's love for her own child. Implacable. That means stubborn. It means unyielding and obstinate, a person who's unwilling to make peace or come to an agreement. I think you see that in all levels of our government, but especially with God. Unmerciful. Absence of consideration of the feelings of others. And the only thing that matters is my own pleasure and my own rights. Man, that describes the world that we live in. You get down to the end of this passage, and verse 32 says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Man knows in his heart, at least initially, that his choices and that his life is full of sin. And a continued rejection of God and God's truth is searing the conscience until they can't see or feel or understand the consequences of that sinful activity. He continues to pursue after his sin with everything in his power. And then to make matters worse, not only does he enjoy this, but he passes that on to others and takes pleasure in them that do the same. Hey, birds of a feather flock together. Not only do they encourage others, but they take pleasure in others who do the same thing. And both of them plunge headlong into the wrath of God. I don't know about you, but I've always found this passage very troubling. I would be in fear for myself after reading the truth of God here. What does the rejection of God lead to? But I'm in fear for others. And though it may seem harsh, it's the reality. It's true that those who reject God, listen, they will ultimately be rejected by God. They seal their own fate. 1 Timothy 4:2 says that people in the last days will sear their conscience and they close the door to God's work in their lives. And even though God is good, and even though He's a God of love, even though He's a God of mercy and grace and long-suffering, listen, He's still a God of holiness and a God of justice and a God of judgment and a God of wrath. And there is always a price to pay for rejecting the truth of God. Let me make this very clear this morning. There's some of you this morning who are not saved. And I would even venture to say that you know it in your heart, but you have been rejecting the truth of God because of your pride and because of your sin, your sin nature. And the more that you reject God, the more that you harden your heart and sear your conscience. And this is the result of a person who rejects God. He finally, they come to the place where God says, okay, have it your way. And God rejects you. There's always a price to pay for rejecting Him. At some point, His mercy and His long-suffering will come to an end. There's a species of ant that I read about in Africa. They build their colonies and their nests very, very deep underground. Of course, you've seen the look of ant farms and so on. But it's there that the young and, of course, the queen live. And the worker ants, even though they could be very, very far, you know, from that nest, even a great distance away, they can still sense when the queen is being attacked. And they all, and even if she were to die, and all of those ants at that moment become extremely nervous and uncoordinated. Whatever they're doing, however far away they are, they can sense when the queen is being attacked. And if she dies, they become very, very nervous, very uncoordinated in what they're doing. And if she's killed, they start to get frantic and they start to rush around aimlessly without purpose because they don't have purpose anymore until they end up dying themselves. And what a perfect illustration of a person who, or a people who rejected God in their life. Unable to find purpose, unable to find direction, unable to find peace apart from a relationship with God. And they rush around aimlessly. Listen, that's what you see in our world. It's like people are just running to and fro and rushing around aimlessly without direction until they die and go out into eternity. Mankind who rejects God ultimately will be rejected by God. And I would say to you this morning as we close, if you're in that condition, been rejecting God and His truth, suppressing His truth and its work in your life, you need to come to Christ today and yield your will and be saved. Admit what you are before God. Maybe you are a saint of God here today and you know someone who's in that kind of a condition. We encourage you and challenge you this morning to pray for God's work in people's hearts, that God would show them their sin and they stop rejecting God, because God's wrath is coming. God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men. God is not a God to be trifled with, to be pushed. When He speaks and He gives His truth, you need to respond. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that You'd work in hearts today. And again, Father, I'm not able to be very adequate in presenting the truth of God, but I know that your Spirit is. Father, your word is clear and your word is plain. Father, there are some today who don't know you as their Savior. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would impress upon their heart with truth that God's mercy and God's long-suffering will come to an end for those who continue to say no to you. Father, I pray that today there would be a yieldedness in the heart, of the will, of the mind, and repentance toward God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand to our feet, please, just for a moment.